And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today, Friday, December 14th, 2012. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, Joe Hagman. He's my son. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of advice and uncensored news, analysis, and information that you need to know in these perilous times. And quite perilous they are. Ladies and gentlemen, well, first of all, Joe, welcome to the studio. Welcome. By the way, folks, we're broadcasting simulcast on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. And you can find us, by the way, at homelandsecurityus.com. And also, we also write for canadafreepress.com. And we want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Joe, welcome.
Glad to be here this Friday night. We had a wonderful show last night with Russ Duvar.
Wonderful doesn't even begin to describe it.
And Steve Quayle.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I think it was pretty prophetic.
Well, after seeing the events today, it really puts it into a whole new context where it's here. It's more real than we imagined. And I think, this is a terrible thing that happened here in the United States, and there are massive calls for gun bans, but also another horrible thing happened today in China as a man stabbed 22 children in China today. And I don't want to get off on a rant about guns because this is not
this is not
a good time for that, but what this is a time for is truth and how to make sense of this.
Wait a second. Yeah, you're right. I'm interrupting you, and I'm sorry about that, but let's do this first. I've been asked, I received probably a dozen emails requesting that we have a prayer for the victims of the shooting today, and also the victims in China. And I think we should probably set the tone for the program with a prayer, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
And because you are the resident minister.
No, not a problem.
Let's open by asking God for his forgiveness on our sins.
Absolutely. Father, we pray for the families all across the world who are suffering, whether from tragedy today or any other tragedy, being lost, poor, homeless, broke, those suffering
broken
from
spiritual
brokenness.
Yes, and
we pray for those who are lost, who have no spiritual guidance, who have no parental guidance. And we ask that everyone finds the Lord and everyone can come together under the idea of love and peace. And we know the time is getting closer and things are getting worse. And we pray for the strength to continue to go through days like today when such terrible things are happening.
Folks, just put yourself in the position of those parents. I remember when Joe was in kindergarten, and actually he was, okay? I remember when my stepson would they were in kindergarten. I remember that age. And you think about that age, and you think about the innocence of that age, and you think about such a horrific, demonic, satanic event to take place.
Yeah.
And then you've got people on the left and on the right talking, making this a political issue. This is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. And you know, I think we need to ask God to intervene, to put His hand on the hearts of the people talking and make them understand that this is not going to be solved by politics. This is not going to be solved by political posturing and by agendas. This is going to be solved only by repentance and by getting our spirits and our souls right with God.
Yeah, and we ask that that protection from the Lord for us, for all the listeners and all the people in the world who want to get right with the Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And thank you, Joe, for that. And I know I took us off that prayer. And
no,
made, okay. You know, look, Joe, here are a couple of things. I just want to open it, and then I'll let you go with because I've got the show scheduled. But.
Yeah, we didn't. I've been in the studio for only about an hour. We didn't talk before the show.
No, I was on Jazz McKay out of Bakersfield, California, 97.9 FM, and then I Lori Roth today for an hour. So I've already done a couple hours of radio. But
yeah, and also while you're talking, last night I did an interview on Lowell's News Talk Radio.
Very
That's
good.
On Blog Talk Radio. You guys check that out at Lowell's News Talk Radio.
What's the name of her program?
Lori's News Talk Radio.
Okay, and that's definitely check that out on Blog Talk Radio. And here's the thing, folks, with all of the people on BTR, don't you think that we can get together, all of us? And I mean, no one has to be a leader or anything like that, but just let's get together and let's get the truth out there and let's form some sort of movement of truth and put the Spirit of God behind us and organize in the Spirit of God and to get the truth out there and just to help people come to the Lord and also to change the way things are. So, don't we have that responsibility? And see, here's what I wanted to open with today, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. And I said this in various – I would urge everyone to listen to the first hour of Lori Roth on the archive, therothshow.com, the first hour. Because I'm not sure I can repeat what I said with how I said it, but I feel pretty good about what I said. But here's the deal. You know, 26 people are dead plus the shooter that we know about right now.
28,
okay. It's evolving. Our system is broken. Our system is broken not because of guns and bullets and bombs. Our system is broken because we have abandoned God. Mm-hmm. And God is not to be mocked. But see, you turn on the television, you turn on the evening news, or you turn on the talk shows, and I had to turn them off today because I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take the left. I couldn't take the right. I couldn't take the left. I couldn't take the middle. I just couldn't take it because no one was addressing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
of this is exactly what we get when we take God out of every school. This is exactly what we get when we take God out of the courtroom, out of the American culture.
This is, it's going to get so much worse. This is what this will look like on a daily, hourly basis.
And you know something, you can count on this. And I've received just so many emails, I cannot even count them, about last night's show, about Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle being on the show, and about Russ Dizdar saying that there will be assassins shooting schools and churches.
Yep, mind-controlled, patsies.
Yeah, exactly.
Being activated, and isn't it interesting that this man, these two men wearing, you know, black military style, term for the, their combat
BDUs, and I've got BDUs. I mean, battle dress uniforms. But here's the thing: let's be very careful about the reports.
Conflicting reports.
Yeah,
there's many conflicting reports,
which is why
even out of Fox News,
we don't.
Just let me tell you this: there's two articles. Okay, one says that 27 people, including 20 children, were killed Friday when a gunman clad in black military gear opened fire inside a Connecticut elementary school. The shooter, whose sources told Fox News was 20-year-old Adam Lanza, gunned down his mother and her entire class. And the next report from Fox News goes on to say the same thing, but they say the shooter was 24-year-old Ryan Lanza.
Doesn't matter.
Instead of 20-year-old. Well, yes, it does matter. It matters because is there more to this story that we need to know? Look at the last, look at these mass shootings we've seen this year. The even the Gabby Gifford shooting, the Aurora, Colorado shooting. Look at the element of mind control that and psychopathic drug use to where these people commit these to the Aurora shooter, goes into a theater, massacres 16 people, shoots more than that, goes back to his car, and then is just, you know,
right.
zapped into a different mindset. Jared Lee Loughner, the same thing. It's too convenient.
No, I get that.
And this is following the script. And the problem here also is this fits the agenda of gun control. They constantly harp on the need to ban guns. And isn't it interesting? Every time that the debate gets going and it gets stories get going in the news, especially recently, all of a sudden, boom, a mass shooting.
Right.
And if it doesn't have an effect,
talk about
a media effect that they want, another mass shooting, two in 1 week. It didn't get the shock value that the movie theater. You hit an elementary school and run into a kindergarten class, which when I read that, it made me sick.
See, people have said, and I agree with this, it's been taken to a new level. And as you were saying, the shock value wasn't there at the mall. The shock value wasn't there at VTech, Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech. But now you take the kindergarten students or the young students, the shock value. Now it's taken to a new level, and you're right. And we're going to get into this as the program unfolds, but I just want to say this, opening this up, and please, look, folks, what we're seeing right now is a darkness descend upon the United States, and a darkness that is somewhat self-imposed, because what we have is we have turned away from God, either ourselves or we have allowed others. We have allowed our elected leaders. We have allowed our people that we look up to or are supposed to look up to turn away from God. We have kicked God out of every element, every aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have taken morality and perverted morality, much like we've perverted the political system. We have taken and offered a blood sacrifice to Satan to the tune of 3,000 unborn per day. And whether you disagree that they're not human, they're not human beings, by definition, they're fetuses. If that's what you look, they are lives to the tune of 3,000 today. 20 some people were killed in a mass shooting, but 3,000 people were killed on average.
That should be blasting on every headline every day.
Exactly.
Because it is just ridiculous to have this double standard that these people in power, these politicians, these talking heads have when it comes to, we need to ban guns for the safety of life, yet they're so pro-abortion. it oozes from them as they talk about, you know, infanticide and killing babies after, you know, months after they've been born.
Look, you know, the Batman movie, Dark Knight Rises, you know something, as we, I was doing research for this program, there are so many things that point to a demonic agenda being imposed upon us, not just within our nation, but globally, a demonic agenda. And I go back to the movie, the Batman movie, the shooting there. And when you start to see, you know, start putting pieces together, I truly believe that we have been set up for this moment. This, our population has been set up for this moment, and not set up by man, but through man, by a demonic force. We've allowed this demonic force to fill the vacuum that was created when we get God out of our lives. And everything that we hold dear and of value, and especially the children who we are, we hold dear to us and hold to our chests and to our hearts, them to be taken out in such a fashion. This is a direct result of a satanic, Luciferian, demonic agenda that people will not talk about. You will not find anyone else talking about this on the corporate media levels. We need to talk about this because this is at the very core of the problem. You can ban guns all day long, all year long. You can ban knives. You can ban spoons and forks
and stones,
whatever. But see, the problem is it's the bankruptcy, the spiritual bankruptcy of America that is going to bring us down. And it's a spiritual bankruptcy of America that no one wants to talk about. It's the kicking Jesus out of the churches, even.
Yeah,
that Steve talks about.
Today I read a news story in our local paper that talked about, I don't know if it was our archdiocese or the archdiocese of the U.S. or wherever, or we're blessing homosexual couples.
We are not reinforcing our moral values. We are not reinforcing what is good. We are not reinforcing what is scripturally proper. We are redefining it or allowing it to be redefined. And where is your line in the sand, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to this? You've got a front row center seat to this program right now. As you listen to this, you have to decide right now where your line in the sand is, because things will get bloody. There will be blood in the streets. There will be death and destruction. And if I'm right, there will be plague, a bio type of an attack, or a chemical attack, or attack of some type to really bring us to our knees in this country, if I'm right, based on research. That's something we're going to get into later. But see, here's the thing. We each have to, first of all, in order to be heavenly good, or good in a heavenly sense, or serve God in the way that we are supposed to, in my view, and I'm no expert at this. Believe me, I'm far from an expert. I am so far. As a matter of fact, let me tell you how far. Let me lighten this up a little bit. Just for a moment. Well, let me lighten this up. King, our dog, our studio dog, our canine mascot, the German Shepherd, the bear with a big head, that you see on our website, HomelandSecurityUS.com. We took him to the vet. He's got some pretty bad problems. And one of the problems he was prescribed some antibiotics, among other things. He's got like a old lady's pillbox here. Okay. Well, anyway, it seems like both King and I are on medication. Well, in my slumber this morning, I consumed his medication.
Really?
Yeah, I did. So if I started barking or growling, during the program, you'll know why.
Wow.
I'm sure that's okay. Oh yeah, it's an antibiotic actually.
Okay.
So just to laugh a little bit, just to know, you know, it's interesting because can we, you know, we take ourselves so seriously sometimes, and we think, wow, you know, we're really all that. Well, no, we're not. You know, none of us are, and none of the people who are in positions of leadership are. That doesn't mean they take their dog's medication like I do, but hey, you know what? Things happen. But back to being serious again. We have successfully taken, unfortunately, it's been successful where God's been taken out of the equation. And, you know, we have, at this point, we have a decision to make. Each and every one of us have a decision to make. We are going to have to stand up and say enough is enough. And we are going to have to fight on a secular level using the spiritual armor of God. And I hope people can understand that. Because the fight is going to be brought to us on a secular level.
And we must rebuke this evil in prayer and in meditation. Through fasting, I mean, we must take action in the physical world, in our daily lives, whether, you know, you sit in silence in a chair for a half hour and talk to the Lord and, you know, pray that his armor of protection is over you and that he puts the words in your mouth and puts you in the position to make a difference when you need to make a difference,
right.
That we're doing his will. We have to be proactive at that because we can't just sit back and let this stuff happen. Les Dizdar said last night, and Steve said it many times, that we do have spiritual authority. We have more authority than we know through Jesus Christ.
We've got to invoke that spiritual authority. Invoke just because we have it doesn't mean that we're using it.
Right.
Okay. We have to invoke it. We have to use it. We have to put it first. And then we can take, when the battle comes to us, and it will, whether it's in the form of give me your gun or whatever it might be, your papers, please, or whatever form it will take. And there are several possibilities that are gradually starting to emerge through the murky haze of current events, that I do believe that we must, at that point, with the armor of God and from the position of that authority, to fight and to say, you know what, this is it. This is where I'm making my stand. And think about that. Think about the man in front of the tank column in Tiananmen Square, most famous picture. He was alone. Don't let your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ stand in front of a tank column by themselves. Join them. And we must all join forces in that fashion. And we must all stand in front of the proverbial or actual tank column that faces us.
In Isaiah chapter 16, verse 12, verse 10, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and has not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants and shalt set it with strange slips. In that day thou shalt make the plant grow, and the morning shall make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and the desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like a noise of the seas, and to the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters.
You know something, we could find comfort and education in Scripture, as that shows. But you know, you can also find it by looking in the mirror. And let me just say this, if you are willing or unwilling to become involved, to take a stand, to say, you know, we're not going to allow this to continue, this path of immorality, this path of using our money, my money for abortions, using my money for the education of young people to be
the
taught.
Indoctrination.
Indoctrination, right.
It's not even an education, right. An open learning environment. It is a...
You said it, indoctrination. But if you're unwilling to get involved because you feel it may be bad for your business or you don't have time or it might jeopardize your social standing, your respectability, take a look in the eyes of your children and you tell them that making a buck and climbing the social ladder and staying up with the Joneses and not being called as conspiracy kook and not being marginalized, that's more important to you than they are. You look at your children and you tell them that. And if you don't have children, then you look in the mirror and tell yourself that, because that at that point, that's the end. That's the end of your case. But if you've decided not to do anything about it, then you can close, really, that chapter of your life. You can stop listening to this program. You can turn out the lights when you leave the room. You can, it's going to be the end. It's going to be, that's your price. That's your acquiescence is, in fact, your price. But if you decide that you will do something, that you are at least are not yet controlled, then you keep listening. And you pick up, you play your zone within our battle. Pick up the ball that we're going to be tossing you. And with really the multitudes of others, let's do an end run around the conspiracy that's in front of us. And we can do that. And we're going to talk to you about how we can do that. But look, as Steve says, what we have, as shown in Connecticut today and elsewhere, we have a spiritual deficit, and you certainly cannot solve spiritual problems with political solutions.
No.
And let's remember that. And when you hear these talking heads on the television and the radio, they trot out, they pay their, SAG fees or whatever they might pay, or just for FaceTime. Understand that they will never, ever touch the root cause. They will never touch the root cause of this. And the root cause is kicking Jesus out of society, out of our lives, out of our personal arena, out of the country, out of the system. We need to bring it back. And look, I'm not a preacher, a minister. I'm not. But I'm a realist. And I'll tell you this, one thing as well that I learned today. There are people involved in exposing certain things like Benghazi who are being offered deals they can't refuse. Think about that. Hey, I've got an offer you just can't refuse. Remember that from The Godfather? Look, hey, for this, 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 and this, boy, this could be good. You could really go places. You don't have to worry about health care. You don't have to worry about your car payment. You don't have to worry about your mortgage is. You don't have to worry about all your bills. In fact, we'll give you a cushy job or position, or we can do this.
More than that.
Or, if not, I got to tell you, you could be walking one day and walking with your dog, and boy, it'd be just sad if a car kind of accidentally
hits
you or
your wife's driving to work and has an accident.
Yes, yes.
But these threats, these ways of intimidation, we just need to stand strong and have faith in the Lord's protection. I mean, you never waver, no matter what the offer is.
Never waver.
Jesus was offered the world.
Yes.
By the devil.
Yes. Didn't Russ talk about that? Or did Steve?
I'm not sure.
Or somebody did.
In the scripture, it says, what's it worth to gain the whole world and lose your soul? You can't take anything from this world with you when you die. We're here a microsecond compared to time throughout the history of this world. And the time here that we spend on this earth is what decides where our eternal soul.
Look, standing up for the truth and standing up for what's right and standing up for God and standing up for your principles is not easy. It's not comfortable. It's tiring. It's inconvenient.
I would say inconvenient.
Well, okay, but think about how some people are.
It can be. It seems to be, to people frustrating and overwhelming. I've never felt inconvenienced.
But some people do. But see, here's the thing. You're right, Joe. You're only here for a short time. And folks, let me tell you this. There are people out there. There are people out there that will attempt to influence you and to change your course. What's your price? There's an old saying. We've already established what you are. It's just, what's your price? See, let's not do that. Let's identify the real problem. Let's not talk in sound bites and other non-issues. But I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that because of today, things have been taken to a new level. I believe that this was, to an extent, if not orchestrated in some fashion. And when I say that, I'm not going into the tall weeds of conspiracy.
I will say that there is something to this that is not, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
Well, right. But
it's just,
maybe I suppose I framed that wrong, but I guess what is going to result from this, perhaps this will be the defining moment in terms of the at least one area of battle, and that is the Constitution, our ability to own what, and I know that this is really not about guns, and it shouldn't be about guns, but it's about our freedoms, it's about control and conditioning. We're being conditioned and controlled in every single day, and I'll tell you something, the battle is being brought right to your doorstep.
Not even that. It's being brought to the children's doorstep. I mean, we're talking about innocent children here. It's one thing, mass murder is mass murder. It is horrific. But how can anyone target innocent children? I can't comprehend murdering children. There has to be, and we talked about this on 12-12-12, the man who carved a pentagram into his six-year-old son's back with a box cutter, then called 911 on himself and said he did it because of the holy day, 12-12-12. A normal father, obviously, had his son, custody of his son. What was that switch, that trigger, that made this man go insane? Was it just because the lack of protection from the Lord? Was because he was not spiritual? What was it that triggered that? Why are these mass shootings so similar in nature with patsies, with changing stories, with elements of mind control, of a just very coincidental and scary similar.
I understand where you're going with this.
It's very...
There's a disturbing pattern.
Yes, patterns. And these patterns are fitting an agenda.
Yes.
And as much as people say they don't want to politicize it, that's all it has turned into.
But
And
we have to decipher this. Right.
And we're going to do that tonight.
Yeah, it's a spiritual issue, but it's being politicized by those who are implementing this agenda or attempting to implement this agenda. I just want to tell you, just to put things in context, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask, especially those participating in the chat, let me ask you a question. Do you remember, can you tell me, not do you remember, but can you tell me, and if you can answer this question, I'll send you, I don't know, you'll win a prize. I don't know what the prize is. You're not going to win a prize. You'll just get kudos from us. What was the most lethal attack on an elementary school? Where it was in the United States. Where was it and when was it? Do you remember? Do you know? Does anyone know?
Well,
the most lethal attack
you could argue,
in the United States.
You could argue the vaccines they give the children.
No, I'm talking about where, I mean.
But right.
Yeah.
Not an elementary school, but.
I'm talking about an elementary school. Does anyone know?
The Columbine?
No.
People in chat are asking?
No.
Okay.
Rather than pull this out.
Is it Amish shooting?
No. Okay. May 18th, 1927. 38 elementary school children were killed. Two teachers and four other adults were killed when a school board treasurer by the name of Andrew Kehoe drove his car up and set off a bomb in the school. Now, the motive behind this man, it's the historical context of this is irrelevant, basically. But look, back in 1927, 38 children, elementary school children, two teachers and four other adults, and 58 were killed, and 58 others were injured. But you had victims from the second to the sixth grade dying in Bath Township, Michigan. Now, why did I bring this up? Because we have had incidents like this happen before, but not to the extent and not with the complexion and not the bent as it is today, not with the methods as today. Now you've got these demon-like assassins like Russ Dizdar talking about last night going into schools.
The literal zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
And when I say zombie, I mean these mind-controlled, brain-dead, whatever is wrong with these people, psychopathic people. And obviously there is positively, and you can look this up for yourself, proof of mind control projects within the U.S. government, the British intelligence, where they have successfully, put people under mind control to the point where, like Russ said, a word will trigger a reaction. I think even conspiracy theory, they did a show about that.
Yes.
There's a lot of evidence of MK Ultra, MI5, British intelligence, the mind control programs there, the CIA. It is a long history. There are very interesting coincidences of associations between lawyers through Timothy McVeigh to Loeffner to doctors as well. Things are not as they seem.
That's exactly right. Things are not as they seem, and we cannot automatically say, it's a mental health issue. I suppose by definition it could be, but the bottom line here is you've got a situation, in our view, and based on independent research from both Joe and I, you've got situations where, even back to Sirhan Sirhan, where you remember the movie Manchurian Candidate, I believe that might have been in the polka dot dress.
Yeah.
Okay. That this is happening, and we are now seeing.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey Mouse,
right?
The MK Ultra.
Yes.
The big thing is the trigger is Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
And you can even see this through some of the satanic music star videos. There was a singer by the name of Rihanna that wore these Mickey Mouse ears during a very odd video. I remember seeing a YouTube video on that. And there are, you know, excellent connections. There is excellent research that is done out there on the internet and in books that will show you the proof of this happening and how this happens. And once you get into it, once you go down this rabbit hole, it's hard to look at anything the same again when things like this happen. Now, can there be events like this that happen?
Out of sequence?
That are genuine?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because there have been, obviously.
But, you know, what is the difference from this year from 50 years ago? You know, we had probably just as many guns per capita, or if not more, 50 years ago. Why wasn't there massive school shootings? And, you know what I mean?
I remember when teenagers would bring guns to school, rifles to school.
All teachers should be able to, they should have guns, and, you know.
For sports shooting after school with a teacher. And they would have the rifles on school property in their vehicles and would be taught gun safety.
Yep.
Okay, but see, what's changed? What's changed is the morality, the assault on our society. And it's not, again, it's not a mental health issue. There are a couple things, and we're going to get into, Joe, what you mentioned about the mind control, but at the core level, at the most basic level, what has changed is the devaluation of human life. Mm-hmm. How can we expect people to react when we have, what bothers me, how can people have this unbelievable outrage over the shooting and saying that, oh, we need gun laws and what have you, and politicize it to that effect, when in fact they don't see anything wrong with the murder of unborn children, with the introduction of pornography, with the perversity
with
in
the,
this society.
The video game.
Video
game. The culture of violence. You don't see them blaming their, satanic Hollywood films or TV shows or music that most of these shooters are listening to. Or have a history of being obsessed with, you know, the heavy metal, death bands, the TV or movie. It seems that story always comes out. They had an obsession with a certain, you know, movie that was a terrible horror movie. They don't ban that stuff. They want to ban the guns because that serves a different purpose. They know it's not the guns that are the problem, but they know that is, the guns are a problem for them in order to control the population. So they do this where they set up patsies, and I'm not saying this is or isn't, I don't know, but with cases like Loughner, and especially in Aurora, even the Christmas Day bomber was a patsy to get the TSA body scanners in. There is too much similarities and patterns, and especially at a time when there are calls nonstop from just about every talking head that has a platform from the left for banning guns. It's very convenient to see these mass shootings happen, as they continue their push to ban guns. And just to give you an example, and this is some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight throughout the show. We have knife-wielding man injures 22 in China, 22 children in China. We're going to get into a little bit of that. Bloomberg, Obama must take immediate action against guns. Also, Boston Mayor Menino, time for national policy on guns. Another article, left mobilizes to politicize school shooting. Also, in other news, UN conference slyly introduces resolution to gain control of internet in the middle of the night. Also, the TSA detains a young girl in a wheelchair, because they say she had explosive residue on her hands. A Marine, double amputeed Marine, was treated and humiliated on a Delta flight to the point that it angered other passengers. Susan Rice withdraws from consideration as Secretary of State. Unprecedented powers for warrantless surveillance. We're going to get into the National Counterterrorism Center and the new powers that are granted to them. Also this, another Benghazi, Fast and Furious parallel. State Department employees not allowed to talk. We're going to be talking about that.
I've got quite a bit to say about that from the interviews conducted with the individual I've spoken to within the intelligence world. This is important information you need to know. I've been getting a lot of emails from people that are in contact with Congress people. I also spoke with today on the telephone somebody that is going to be questioning, or up until this morning, and then it changed, and then it changed back again, and it changed. It's been fluctuating with Hillary Clinton about Benghazi. But the bottom line with that is, if Hillary Clinton does testify or is interviewed or provides any type of or is put in a position where she will agree to answer questions, anyone asking those questions, and I'm saying this because I know some of the people have sent me emails about this, and also the person who is in contact with the Congress person who's going to be interviewing, heavily involved in the interview, to the extent of even directing the interview with Hillary Clinton. It's ridiculous. Hillary Clinton should not be an interview until such time as the survivors of Benghazi are permitted to talk.
Right.
And
right.
Because otherwise it's just a dog and pony show.
And we're going to get into that article. I'm going to play an audio clip here. I uploaded yesterday. This is an important story. Kind of got lost in the shuffle for today. Belafonte. Was it Harry Belafonte?
Harry Belafonte.
On the GOP, says Obama needs to work like a third world dictator and just put all of the opposition in jail.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you heard this or seen this or heard this audio or seen this video with Harry Belafonte about this, what he said to Al Sharpton? We had this yesterday. I'm just curious of how many people have seen this or heard this. Harry Belafonte is the singer. Remember him? He's got to be now, he's 85, probably 80, 85 years old.
Yeah.
Black man, big, very big back in the 60s and 50, late 50s or 60s and early 70s. Why don't you go ahead, I mean, if you're ready for it, go ahead and play that.
Sure.
And listen, folks, to what Harry Belafonte said.
You've fought for decades for some of the, quote, entitlements that the right wing wants to try and balance this budget, balance the deficit off of. As you look at this, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, you've been an activist leader from Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt, through Dr. King, through Mandela, to Obama. How do you view this, and what is the challenge for those that are on the field today?
What I think has most attracted me to this whole process is watching the political maturity of the American people. Because there was a great question during the first election as to whether or not Barack would even be elected. And after the turnout so emphatically put him in the presidency, it was interesting to watch the second turn, when everybody really didn't quite know what the game would be. Well, the American people, in their maturity, declared themselves fully. We want what Barack Obama is talking about. We want the country to go in that direction. And what fascinates me is that in the face of millions of Americans expressing their desire, the whole political establishment defining its game, that there should be this lingering infestation of really corrupt people who sit trying to dismantle the wishes of the people, the mandate that has been given to Barack Obama. And I don't know what more they want. The only thing left for Barack to Obama to do is to work like a third world dictator and just put all these guys in jail. You're violating the American desire.
There he is. Throw them all in jail.
As the correspondent laughs at the comment.
That's Al Sharpton interviewing Harry Bolton.
And we went through this the other night. The history will prove gun confiscation or gun control by government forced on the people can be a sure death sentence to those people.
If I can just kind of break script here. Regular listeners to the show know, and Joe knows, and I have been researching, listening to hours upon hours of audio, looking at numerous videos, reading books that you can't buy. Well, I suppose you can buy them, but they're in libraries. Actually, physically reading library books, if you will. Reading also archives of specific documents.
Yeah, and I think we've told the audience how we've traveled as investigators through everywhere in New York State. We always stop at used bookstores and have bought hundreds of books for
that have been out of print for decades. But here, and I want everyone really to understand this, because now regular listeners know this, but and by the way, I'd also like to publicly thank Marianne for the books that she's provided to us.
She has sent us so many books.
Thank you, because every one of them is being used for research purposes. But here's the story, and here's what I really want everyone to understand. 2012 has marked a change, spiritual change, but a change of agenda, change of objectives. The Mayan calendar, forget about that. Forget about the December 21st. Forget about that.
That's used as a conditioning method to let people, to condition people that things are going to be changing, but it's not because of the Mayan calendar.
Right. But of all of the things that I think that we can learn from, we know, let's just say this. I think we can all agree that there's a shadow government. I think we can all agree that there are string pullers. I think we can all agree that there's the Illuminati.
We can prove there's a shadow government.
Right. But we can agree that there is this black, I'll call this a black agenda.
Yep.
Okay?
That's a good way to put it.
Black agenda that involve people that we don't see, that exist but we don't see, but we know who are there, and we know them. Now, that said, everything... And if we look at 2012 as being a point in time when things are changing, here is, from my investigative viewpoint and Joe's supporting and the supportive role, if there is one event in 2012 that lays things out, that lays out the agenda, the new agenda of the string pullers, the people behind the curtain, I believe we bore witness to it. Based on our investigation, I believe that we are treated to this by the 2012 Olympics. Now, people might say, well, you're nuts. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen. I think that there is, based on, just from the, I don't know, three notebooks, four notebooks I've got, full of notes, of information, charts made up. I believe that the power brokers, the global power, the people with the power on the globe, put on the Olympic ceremonies to show the world exactly what their plans are. I believe it's a key. I believe because even if you don't agree with it, just think back at the Olympics and think of the opening and closing ceremonies, the various ceremonies. Did that look like an opening to a sporting event.
And there was questions recently. I think there was a country music award where there was open ceremonies were said to be the same way. And
exactly.
Listeners in the chat room, I don't know if any of you saw an article about that, heard about that. I could be wrong, but I'm about 100% sure I did see something about that.
Through research, and here is the twisted, convoluted part of all of this. The forces behind this black movement, this black agenda, the forces behind it, the satanic forces, are compelled to tell the world what they're going to do. I mean, there is, in
and
fact,
this is stated by many people, but
it's Satan.
How can you prove it?
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you.
It seems like they do, though.
Right, and we can make a doggone good prima facie case with this. See, Satan gives special favor when the Satanists, the Luciferians, the people behind this black agenda openly worship him or do things to show worship, to show allegiance, and to tell others right out in the open what's going to take place. And I think one of the key events in 2012, and researching and studying this, is the 2012 Olympics that took place in London for a lot of reasons, and it would take probably and will take a dozen shows to go through all of this and to lay the foundation, laid out the evidence, and to show the evidence. It would surpass any written articles and go into book form. But here is the situation: if you want to know what 2012 represents in terms of the change, I believe all of the elements can be found in the Olympic ceremonies. Now, I know that you might think, oh, this is your way off base on this, but I believe as we go through this and we intersperse this information and lay this evidence out, not proof, but evidence, there is a legal distinction between the two. I think you will see that shootings like today will make sense, that various other events will start to make sense. And in the scheme of things, in the agenda, this black agenda, you'll look at it and say, wait a minute, why didn't I see that? And you all watched it. See, well, maybe you didn't, but those who did, it was right before your very eyes, right from the beginning to the end. And there are a lot of answers in there. And those of you who think maybe I've taken leave of my senses, allow me to lay out the evidence, you know, as we go through the programs, and take a look and evaluate it for yourself. And I think you will be surprised, as I was, because let me tell you something. I'm a hard sell on this. You might think that, oh, you know, he's a conspiracy nut. No. I'm really a hard sell when it comes to it, but I have to say, from what I've seen, I'm astounded. And see, part of the agenda is everything we're talking about. Part of this black agenda is Agenda 21. Part of this black agenda, and the agenda was 21 was represented in the Olympics. Part of the black agenda is about the Middle East, which was represented in the Olympic ceremonies. And part of the black agenda is depopulation. That was represented, as was the history, biblical and otherwise, in the ceremonies. And I say this with certainty. I do. I believe this. And I wouldn't ordinarily say that, but the reason I'm saying that is because it will offer insight and put into context things that are seemingly random. And from that, we can learn. So as we go through various programs, the only reason I mention that is as we go through various programs, I will be bringing things out. And at some point, I hope we can do a special series of videos to go through and to talk about this. But in the meantime, you'll get the raw data, the upfront information about it. But let's we're at the top of the hour already. We've gone through an hour, and once again, folks, please say a prayer for all those suffering, yeah, indeed,
from any ailment, spiritual, physical, a loss, and uplift those who need it. In your name, we pray, amen. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Friday, December 14th.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell. A lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook. Because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hold on to your seats. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is Friday, December 14th, 2012, a mere 11 days before Christmas, and tragedy for numerous families in Connecticut where the where children were slaughtered, the blood of innocents were slaughtered. And, of course, with that, we pray to Jesus, we pray to God that their families, the families of the victims, find comfort in God, and that the veil of God's protection comes upon the families, and that God receives the innocents. You know, it's difficult to talk about. It really is. It's difficult to talk about. But you know, folks, we are in, I think that this shows the spiritual battle in which we are now engaged. I think that the fabric that separates the spiritual good and evil has been torn. And I think that we are now going to be seeing more of this and more of this and more of this. And we can't blame it on guns. We can't blame it on gun laws. We can't blame it on anything except the taking of God out of our lives and redefining things that we shouldn't be redefining, but reinforcing. And I think that that's the argument that we have to make. That's the position we have to take. And I say that from my heart because we have to get right. We have to get our souls right. And we have to get others to bring others to that point as well with us. And but certainly our prayers, and we opened our program with a prayer for the victims and the victims' families, as much as it was. And of course, you know, I'm no Steve Quayle and Joe. I mean, we're not Steve Quayle. Boy, that man can pray. But you know, we do our best. But with that, I mean, it's a dark day in America, but it's also a dark day because 3,000 unborn children have been not given that opportunity to live. Many others have suffered hardships, deaths, losses, that is. There are many, many people who are crying out, whose souls cry out. And I think we have to put things in perspective. I really do. I think we need perspective, but we need to have God back in our lives. And it's a spiritual problem. It's not a policy problem. It's a morality problem.
It is a morality problem. It is a societal problem because of the availability of drugs, of pornographic images, the evils that are in even kids' cartoons through the TV, the video games, the indoctrination through schools, the parents who aren't there to teach their kids the right ways, the churches that don't teach their flocks the right ways. Everyone seems to be misleading everyone else or not doing their job as we are ordained by God to do, which is have a family, have children, and raise them as godly people. And we have seen anything but that. We are seeing godlessness at every level of society.
In churches. Especially.
And that's what we should expect, as the Satan is not going to, be this big, ugly monster that people portray him as. He's going to come as the what people would call like a cool or sexy, hip kind of guy, very charismatic, slick, deceiving. The snake is not given his title of snake, or being a serpent.
Serpent
was not by mistake.
Joe, let me read an email I got today as well from a listener. And it's about last night's program, and this is rather interesting because, folks, you know that we have this Team Canine Productions, and it's a play off words, Northeast Intelligence Network, known as NINE, And our dog is a canine, and so we have Team Canine. Well, last night we had Russ Dizdar on our program and Steve Quayle, and we talked about events of this nature taking place in the actual demonic dimensions opening up, the demonic realm opening up and things taking place. Well, this I'll just say his first name, Chad, writes the following. Like everyone else, or like everyone who listens and is paying attention, I woke up to today's sad and troubling news. Drudge Report alert said shooting at school, 27 dead. If you are wondering if it has anything to do with last night's program, you would be absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, it was a threat and a warning in response to last night's program. Before I ever read the story, I knew in my spirit that it started in the kindergarten. It's just how God works in me to see these things. Break it down. Number one, team of shooters reported. Okay? Emphasis mine. Team of students, of the shooters reported. Number two, 27 dead at the time, which is 2 plus 7 is 9. Okay. Number three, team of shooters starting in class K with totals to 9 with both sets of numbers given equals Team K9. Then he writes, I can't be the only one seeing this. Now, whether or not, you know, again, take that for what it's worth. Thank you, Chad, but, you know, I would be hard-pressed to really, because obviously there were more dead than that, more injured. There's other factors, but interesting nonetheless. But I the reason I read that was not necessarily for that formula or for that perspective, but for the fact that, isn't it interesting that Russ Dizdar talking about this Black Awakening,
talking about these school shootings, the mass shootings.
And in the twilight of human history, darkness burns its black flame. Soon it will all erupt, and fear will fly as the bloodshed begins. The Black Awakening will occur. For them, those who serve this long, cold secret it has to, it's the only way to give the world a desperate reason, a willing but painful reason for the need of a new world order and of a leader who will rule with a power that only the ancients felt. That's from the Black Awakening. And if you take that, and as I mentioned, the Olympic ceremonies, and superimpose that over the Olympic ceremonies, that's a very frightening perspective of what we are about to face. And see, the other thing as well, now, in response to this incident, Joe, you'd mentioned about the various mayors from Bloomberg to whoever,
yeah,
saying now, things.
And somebody also posted in the chat room, it's gone away, but they are calling on Obama to sit down and have a they got to figure something out about the gun control, this gun control situation.
Well, and Obama made a statement today.
And, yeah, there's the statement he made. Apparently, I did not see him. I did not see what he said or watch it. But
he's setting the
he
stage.
He was crying, apparently.
Yes.
And I have seen numerous reports that they were not real tears.
Well,
I don't know how people drew those conclusions. Me neither.
But the stage is being set, and here's what he said today. Obama said, "We are going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this, regardless of the politics." Now, the last time he said that, or in that fashion, was about the Affordable Health Care Act, and that was pushed. Well, actually, it's not the last time. But what that means is regardless of the law, not of the politics. So are we about to witness a gun grab? Are we about to witness something deeper than the reinstatement of the, quote, assault weapons ban?
And if we are,
will there be blood in the streets?
We need to remember one thing. What's more important, the Lord or our arms? Now, situational things happen, but we must not look to our guns as a solution.
They're not a solution.
Right.
They're a tool.
Right.
And I think we have to look at...
We have to remember that.
Right. Look, they're a tool, and we...
The foundation is in the scripture and in our hearts where Jesus is, if you have asked him into your heart. And I believe that he will lead you in the right direction. He will protect you, hide you, whatever needs to be done.
Well,
if you are,
right. If you are in tune with that spiritual...
Right.
like an old-fashioned vinyl record album, as the needle goes through that groove, as long as you stay in that groove of spirituality and in that right proper groove, the music sounds proper, and of course so does your response to things like this and how you handle things and in the fight that needs to be waged. But see, here's the issue, folks. This is the beginning of the totalitarian... we are witnessing, I believe, now the opening shots of the totalitarian takeover of the people.
And let me read this. The odds of being killed in a school shooting, 2 million here, and they say, just to put things into perspective, you are 190 times more likely to die in your own bathtub.
Sure.
28 times more likely to be killed by lightning. 17 times more likely to be executed by the government. 150 times more likely to be shot to death by a police officer. These are statistics from the criminologist James Allen Fox.
But that statistics can be a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Why, then, would you cling to your gun if the odds of being shot in that type of venue would be so small? Well, it's not about the guns. It's not about, it's about conditioning. It's about control. It's about the takeover. See, it's about the implementation of this godless one-world government. When I say godless, and Russ Dizdar talked about this last night, because this one-world governance is going to, we're going to have a false god.
Yeah, the coming world teacher, as the Lucius Trust says.
Right.
The Imam Mahdi, the Maitreya.
But see, I don't buy that. The Maitreya, the Imam Mahdi. I mean, I know that the other
I think it fills the satanic scripture.
Well,
the satanic, not scripture, the satanic plan, as he is trying to enthrone himself above the Most High, or be like the Most High, as he says in Isaiah chapter 12, I think it is. He will be like the Most High. And by doing that, he's going to try to set up a kingdom on earth that he will try to have control over all the people and their souls, which is the mark of the beast system.
I agree with that. But what I suppose what I'm urging everyone to do is take a few steps back and look at the bigger picture here. Look at what's going on. 2012 is opening the... and I think that we can find a lot of answers, and people might not agree with me on this, but when we talk about the spirit of the Antichrist and the Antichrist himself, and we get into these topics, I think if you look back, you look at things in mythology, Apollo, Osiris, Nimrod, in the Bible, the son of Lucifer, all of this, I think that that by looking back, by analyzing certain things, or by researching certain things, and by coming to, by identifying various things, we will find things will be placed in context, I guess, is what I'm saying. Modern science, for example, will that play a role in the one world government, the coming worshiping of the Antichrist, or the seating the Antichrist? Of course it will. Various other things. And again, I don't want to convolute the issue, but what we are looking at here is, you know, think back, and I think we can think back to various times in history. The calls for New World Order, calls for control, military on our streets. Are we not seeing this play out right before our very eyes? Can we not recognize what's happening right now? I think we should. I think it's necessary for us to recognize that we are witnessing the events unfold that will lead us to this totalitarian state. And as I said, I believe in my heart and in my professional investigative opinion that if you analyze what happened at the Olympic ceremonies, I believe that the powers that are setting this up have telegraphed it, have shown us what exactly they're planning on doing. And we have allowed it as America. We have allowed it. If you want to consider America as the daughter of Babylon, perhaps we are. Perhaps we are because of the things that we have done and the things that we have failed to do. John Price has written that book, The End of America. And in his book, he points out numerous things about God abandoning the United States and thus allowing the New World Order to assume and consume all of America. There is a planned takeover of this country, and we are witnessing it right before our very eyes. We are witnessing the takedown of our country. See, and you know, it's interesting because the Colberts, the Stephen Colberts and the John Stewarts, where the majority of young people get their news and information, obviously will be hot and heavy into molding this youth opinion into this moral or immoral, I should say, acquiescence to a larger agenda. Immorality, same-sex marriage, this all has everything to do with what we're seeing. You know, I said before, in 1986, the Supreme Court in Bowers versus Hardwick, they upheld the right of the states to adopt the sodomy laws. And Chief Justice Warren Burger wrote in his concurring opinion that society had historically held negative attitudes toward homosexual sex. And he quoted Sir William Blackstone's description of sodomy as a crime not even fit to be named. And the Blackstone wrote, to hold that the act of homosexual sodomy is somehow protected as a fundamental right would be to cast aside the millennia of moral teaching. Isn't moral teaching exactly what is lacking? Because 17 years later, in 2003, what, just 9 years ago, the Supreme Court overruled that in the case of Lawrence versus Texas and cast aside thousands of years, of moral teaching. And Scalia, from the bench at that time, said that the case had, some were arguing that the case had nothing to do with same-sex marriage, but it did. And Scalia says, don't you believe it? And see, once those doors were open, same-sex marriage became commonplace. Before that, you never heard about that. And now it's commonplace. And immediately following that decision, states like Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, Rhode Island, Maine, and Iowa authorized, gave license to persons of the same sex to marry. And this is the homosexual agenda. This is the watering down of the morality of our country. That's just one aspect, just one. But look at our financial. Look at our financial. Even before I go into that, look at the pornography. Joe, you talked about this. America produces, distributes more pornography than any other country in America, in the world.
The industry makes more money than the Hollywood industry.
You know, people say that, you know, if you take a poll, have you accessed porn on your computer? Everyone says no. Well, how is it that the internet users have accessed 1.3 million pornographic websites? That was over the course of 1 year, 3 years ago. And America has produced over a billion DVD video rentals, hardcore pornographic titles.
Yeah.
Over a billion. And,
yeah.
You know, and
it's an addiction for people.
It is.
It is sick. I mean, growing up, I was a terrible kid. I haven't told my whole story on our show, but, I've watched those videos before. I've done things that if I were to do them now, I couldn't even imagine how bad I'd feel. Treated people bad. I've been a thief, a liar, so many things. But it's amazing that the things that happen, the mistakes you make, you learn from them properly, how you can be turned around.
Anyone listening to this, I can promise you, anybody listening to this program, if you are involved in an adulterous relationship, or if you're addicted to porn, or if you... You can change.
Right.
You can change.
Right. You can change. And it's a matter of faith and of your own willpower, but your willpower coming from the Lord. Change is never easy, even simple things. Changing a routine. People don't like change, but it is not impossible. If I can change from where I was to where I am now, anybody can. And I've seen other people change for the better in ways that I could have never believed they would be the way they are today, in a good way. I've also seen the opposite. Some of those people aren't alive today. Some of them are in jail forever.
That's right.
For
life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So some people learn the hard way. I was always one to do that. And I'm lucky to be alive, and I'm lucky to be free. As I said, I have many friends who aren't alive and free. And the only difference between them and me, is the things that happened in my life that forced me to change. I'll tell you one thing, sitting inside of a prison cell makes you never want to be there again. And after an experience like that, you make sure you never go back there again. And different things for different people, you know. People hit different bottoms. But it's okay, because the Lord is still with you. He didn't come to the earth to hang out with the righteous. He came to hang out with the sinners, to teach the sinners. As he said, I think, because in a parable or in speaking, because, you know, the healthy people don't need doctors. We need to realize that we are humans. We are flawed. We are only saved through His grace. And if we don't have that, we don't have anything. And all the money in the world, all the whatever you like, whether you like money for houses and materialistic things, or to get it to means to an end to buy things, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Nothing can fulfill that missing hole in your spirit that is the Lord if you don't have that. How many times have you seen the stories about lottery winners who, you know, I think I saw it once, the, you know, top 20 stories of when winning the lottery goes back.
They're train wrecks.
Right.
They're train wrecks.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, two, okay, and that's a very deep personal testimony that you provided, but it's important because when you look at this country, where we're going, I mean, it all starts with you, the listener of this program. It starts with you. It starts in your heart. It starts with your mind and your soul, deep within your soul. But let's look at where we're going now. Let's look at, we touched on abortion. We touched on everything, on pornography and various other things. But here's what's coming. And here's a glimpse of what's coming. And all we have to do is look back at just 9 years ago, Sweden. Well, they decided that if you talk about sexual orientation in an improper way, it's against the law. And then that was in 2003. In fact, the next year, Pastor Ike Green was from a pulpit, was arrested and convicted in Sweden of a hate crime for giving a sermon from the Bible, just simply repeating what the Bible said on same gender sexual relations. That's in Sweden. Folks, that's coming to America.
We have preachers in America being arrested for preaching in the street corners, for holding Bibles, holding Bible studies in their house.
But if the clamps are going to get tighter. In October of 2009, Congress passed and sent to Obama the Federal Hate Crimes Act. Tony Perkins, not the actor, but the guy from the Family Research Council, said that the law was part of a radical social agenda that could ultimately silence Christians and use the force of government to marginalize everyone whose faith is at odds with homosexuality. And he was right, because that's where we stand today. You know, where will it end? Because it's already started. Isaiah and John tell us in the Bible, Isaiah 47:6, I was angry with my people and desecrated my inheritance. I gave them into your hand, and you showed them no mercy. Even on the aged, you laid a very heavy yoke. Now, no mercy sounds pretty chilling, doesn't it? John in Revelation 18, verse 24, reveals that in the daughter of Babylon was found the blood of saints, a biblical phrase for Christians. Thus, oppression by the daughter of Babylon, which we could say perhaps is the American government, its lack of mercy and heavy yoke laid upon God's people, which is us, it's gonna eventually cause spilled blood. And this is prophesied. See, how close are we as Christians, particularly pro-life Christians, how close are we to being officially oppressed? How close is it? Well, the Department of Homeland Security, you know this, folks. You know this, that they've labeled any pro-life person as extremist.
Yeah.
Okay, that goes back to 2007.
They labeled any pro-life, any constitutionalist, any Christian, any alternative media.
That's right.
As in their Department of Homeland Security lexicon on domestic extremism, they have labeled just about anybody who stands up for freedom and righteousness and the Lord.
So when
the same time,
go ahead.
The Department of Homeland Security, which was set up in order to fight the terrible Islamic Al Qaeda organization.
Right, exactly. There you have it.
Now they have removed Al Qaeda out of the equation so much so that army manuals aren't even allowed to reference Al Qaeda or their ways of rape and violence.
The Department of Justice took it out. They don't. They in fact, the Department. that officially does not use the word terrorist to describe anybody related with Al-Qaeda.
So, and I don't want to make, I'm not trying to make light of the shooting today. As Holder described the shooting at Fort Hood as workplace violence.
Right.
This could be considered a domestic dispute because of the it was a family affair, apparently.
Yeah, and believe me, I mean, with all due respect, and I understand that we're talking about this on an intellectual basis, and it's not...
Right.
Oh, it's so soul-wrenching. Because this speaks directly to that redefinition of morality and of spirituality. It's not political. It's that redefinition.
Marianne sent us this book.
Oh, I love that.
Dealing with Pain and Hardship. How can we deal with pain and hardship?
That's a great author, by the way.
Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It goes on to say that there are no easy answers, no formulas. Everyone has to work problems out for themselves. Dealing with suffering can be extremely difficult, but with God's help, it is possible. It goes on to say that Christians have been persecuted and martyred from the first century until today. And
absolutely.
The Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Having the right attitude. Instead of the why me, and dwelling on the injustices and unfairnesses of life. Looking at it in a different way, in a positive way, to where we are gaining information, learning experiences. In Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 5, Paul says that God comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ.
You know,
accepting hardship. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. That's from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12.
Okay, all right.
Decide to overcome. Yeah. And it goes on, you know, pray, remain faithful, bring good out of a bad situation.
Well, you know, I think back, and I think everyone can really relate to this and understand this and in the context of the history of our country, too. You know, God moved his people from Europe and to North America, because I believe America was really a creation, a divine creation. And, you know, why did the pilgrims flee England? Of course, it was because of
tyranny,
religious persecution and tyranny. That's right. But the pilgrims were also known in England at the time as separatists who were opposed. I mean, they're opposed to governmental requirements that they attend the official Church of England. And see, okay, now I'm going to touch back onto the Olympics. The Church of England, there's some references there. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, the separatists were levied a fine for each time they missed Sunday services. The penalties for conducting unofficial non-Church of England services, well, they threw people in prison and fined them even more. And disobedient clergy. And folks, this is important to remember this, because those clergy who were disobedient to the Church of England were replaced, and the prominent separatists were confronted, fined, and even tossed in prison. In fact, you might remember from your history studies, two leaders of the Christian movement, Henry Barrow, John Greenwood. Do those names ring bells to you folks?
I just watched a documentary 2 weeks ago, or not a documentary, I don't know if it was a documentary or a movie someone sent about some of the history of Christianity in the colonies before we were a nation.
Yes.
That those names don't sound familiar, but they talk about the different doctrinal differences they had to where they would accuse people of blasphemy and different exactly. things by the way they teached.
Well, those two names, just to let you know, they were executed for sedition crimes against the state in 1593. Why? Because they were Christians. And see, the church's first martyr, Stephen, was executed. And we have to remember that Christians have long suffered persecution. But see, here's why I mention this, because the very people who are going to be standing up, especially now in the wake of such tragedies as happened, as, and I use that word with a little bit of reservation, but as the Christian people stand up and address the moral aspects of what happened instead of the official line, expect blood to be spilled. Expect those who don't conform to the official line, especially those Christians, as Russ Dizdar talked about last night, expect blood to be spilled. And
another word on this pain and hardship, and then we're going to go to the calls. About prayer. This book says, prayer brings us in touch with the almighty power of God. God does not always take us out of difficult circumstances, but he is with us during them. He is a very present help in trouble. That's from Psalms 46:1. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Prayer also takes our mind off of our circumstances and puts it on God. It goes on to say, focus on God and not your circumstances. Paul, who went through a remarkable amount of suffering, wrote that in all circumstances we should give thanks. Our thanks do not depend on the circumstances. Our thanks depend on who God is, on the salvation he has so freely given us, and on the relationship we have with him. Paul wrote, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians.
You know, I would like to just recommend anyone who... And we all have pain and suffering in our lives. We all feel pain and suffering. Boy, that was profound, wasn't it? We all have that level of discomfort in our lives. I would recommend that book. Joe, what's the name of that book? Give the name and the author.
Okay.
So people can order that book.
I wanted to say thanks to Lori's News Talk Radio. This is, it's quoting the NIV Bible. So if you do get this book, just go to the King James verses that they list. Dealing with pain and hardship, scriptural ways to find God's strength in challenging times by James L. Morrison.
Okay. That's a great book, folks. The author is a great author. Title and author one more time. The short title of the author?
James L. Morrison.
That's the author.
Dealing with Pain and Hardship.
There we go. Very well. I would recommend that book to everyone because that is a good book to have on your nightstand.
Yes, it is. And the NIV, the reason I bring that up is because of we've talked about it before, but we have a lot of new listeners, and maybe it's a good time to touch on this. Just one verse. There's other examples, but the one verse that really stuck with me that would never allow me to go through an NIV Bible is in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. In the King James, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? In the NIV, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star? The difference is, in Revelation, I think it's the very end, Revelation 22, Jesus calls himself the Morning Star. He's referred to as the Morning Star in another part of the First Testament, which contradicts, the NIV contradicts and confuses Jesus and Lucifer.
Right, I understand that. You know, there's different translations. And
also, Zondervan Publishing, Rupert Murdoch, also owns the copyrights for Satan's Bible, or the publishers of the NIV.
But I got to tell you, without respect to that, the book that I'm mentioning about dealing with the pain and hardship by James Morrison, what a fantastic book. Definitely a fantastic book. So
let's go to the calls.
Let's do that.
I want to thank you for your patience for those who are holding. We're going to go to Phil first. Phil, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Phil, our favorite and show counselor, first responder.
Yeah, what's up, Phil?
Well, the good news is the Bible, if you look at the literal translation, I would have to say the Greek is the most accurate, because anything before that, after that, is really an interpretation. You know, and I would literally like to, for someone to do some real scholarly work on saying, is King James true to the Greek, the original Greek? You know, because anything
Phil, it's interesting to note this. If you really want to, if you really want a mind bender, think about this. And Phil and folks, think about this. If you really want a mind bender, if you go back and research the King James Bible, and if you believe in the Illuminati, you will find, I believe this to be true based on my research, you will find that the Illuminati is following the King James Version of the Bible to the letter. Just throwing that out there
as
for an observation.
Unfolding.
Exactly.
Event, I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take that, I mean, the most literal Bible. Because if you look at King James, it comes from the Roman Catholic Bible originally. So before, and this is what I thought about it, and I said, if who's right, who's wrong, you know? And I took a serious look at this, and I'm saying, well, if the New Testament and the Old Old Testament were translated from Hebrew, they were translated into what? So the next church that established itself was the Roman Catholic Church. 500 years after the fact Christ died. I mean, and I've come to that revelation to myself that really the only true, real, accurate Bible out there is Greek. You know?
Well, yeah, but I don't think it would be a practical measure for people to start learning Greek. On the other hand, points well taken, Phil. What else is on your mind?
What else is on my mind? My surgery coming... probable surgery next week to fix my heart once more.
Yes, you are coming towards us to...
be a King of Prussia, PA. Thanks to Angel Flight Northeast.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Phil, you mentioned that you wanted to thank Angel Flight. Tell us a little bit about them and what they're doing.
Angel Flight Northeast was one of the original... Angel Flight Network groups that started from a group of pilots who were former airline pilots who were retired. These are individual pilots. As you know, it's not cheap to own your own aircraft. And to be a hobbyist and to have this money, you have to have it. And these people are giving back to society. So they started taking children with cancer for treatment to their various clinics from Mayo to Cleveland to New York, and it grew to a national movement, and whenever a plane takes off now with a patient on board, they no longer, they just go by designation Angel 456 or Angel 247, and they get priority even ahead of a Boeing 747, which are airlines. The Angel Flight gets top priority, and the only planes who don't, are the others. And then you got Air Force One, certainly, who gets even further priority. But with the person currently, its current occupant, I don't even recognize it. You know?
Well, that's very good, Phil. And certainly, we wish you the best. And that's next week. You're going to have...
Well, I'm having a full workup to to manage my ICD problems, and they're saying back at Sloan that during one of their scans they saw my heart was starting to enlarge again, so they called Cleveland as well. So they moved everything, you know, because they also found an enlarged lymph node, which they're watching closely, so they want to send me back there to manage both the ICD that's been causing problems and my shortness of breath, certainly, which has been coming back. You know, some nights are better than others. You know, and we have to
remember, Phil, that you and ladies and gentlemen, Phil was one of the first people on the ground in 9/11 in New York City. A man that essentially has given up his life, as he once knew it, to rescue others, and that's why we are you know, we thank Phil for his.
You know, I mean, I look at it this way, and 9/11, I guess, was the real start of my path towards Christ. I just wasn't connecting the dots, you know, until I looked at how 9/11 came about, the fact that it was, in fact, an inside job, the burning cars eight blocks away, you know what I'm saying, and I never really thought of it at the time. And then I spoke with a bunch of people, you know, and I met Alex Jones in 2008, and I was fully convinced it was an inside job. And then I went down the rabbit hole, and I keep falling deeper and deeper. And whenever you bring guys like Steve Quayle on, it wakes me up and shakes me at the same time. But I'm also heartened to know, and it makes me want to try even harder to do what's right and educate people through my own network. So I joined Mr. Igorov, and we started doing our own show, and I built them up pretty quickly. And we have a whole bunch of good guests coming on because of that.
That's great. That's great.
You know, I mean, he's much younger than I am. He's much younger, you know, and he could use a little guidance and stuff. And I'm 48, and I've been there, done that, and did it all, you know. So I decided,
you both have a good dynamic going, and it's evident in your show. It is. Anything else, Phil, before we cut your loose?
Yeah, I also want to talk about the Feel Good Foundation. Great group of people. They're out of money for a change, and there are thousands of first responders in need of cash. And, you know, and I have to wait my turn like everybody else now. But just remember them this holiday season. Remember them, Angel Flight. Out of all the charities out there, there are very few that are actually making a difference in people's lives anymore. And most of the expense goes to administering it. Despite you know, the medical limitations on many of these guys, from 9/11 are now at the Rockaways, helping people with their properties, tearing down homes. A lot of the ex-firemen, you know, are helping people still. To this day, they haven't stopped giving.
Well,
you know, and I just want to point that out. And not many people realize that the Feel Good Foundation is involved with the recovery. As a matter of fact, FEMA has done nothing to the people in New York City.
And people need to know that from even a practical point of view, especially if something does happen or when things happen. FEMA is nothing.
They're here to put you behind bars, deal with you, and then not kill you if you don't want to accept the New World Order. That's all they're there for.
Nothing
more, nothing less.
It's a money trap, and it makes it a bureaucracy that's not needed. That was started under Carter.
Yeah, and I want to say I'm sorry, Phil, that you're an example of how the nation treats its heroes, but you are one of many, many people who have basically been left for dead by the government after risking your life to save others. And we just want to thank you for being a part of our show and for doing what you do.
The thing I do want to say is, can I look forward to meeting you in Cleveland, taking the hour and a half drive, maybe Monday?
I'm not sure if I'll be able to do it, but if I can, I will try.
Yeah, so we're both, right now, we're both up against a couple of schedule problems, but I'll tell you what, we'd love to do it. And it's,
yeah,
I'd love
you guys
to
come and see me before I get admitted. Because I don't know if I'll be coming out this time, you know?
Well, what I'll do is definitely get a hold of you this weekend, Phil, and we'll talk.
We'll talk off
there. Very good.
God bless you. All right.
You too, brother. Bye.
All right. You take care. That was Phil, the first responder from New York, who's actually going through some severe pain
health problems, yeah,
himself, you know. And does that not, folks, put things in perspective? And think about this. Just kind of for an example, you think you're having a bad day today. How many people come home today from the doctors with bad news that their wives or their sons or their daughters or their husbands have cancer or some other bad news or their, you know, I mean, is your day really that bad? Is your day as bad as the parents in Connecticut? I don't think so. And that book by James Morrison was fabulous. It puts things in perspective.
Yeah. We're going to go back to the phones. Folks, if you want to call in, 661-244-9839. Actually, we got only a few minutes left until the top of the hour.
We'll take
a call, and we will go to break. And then the last hour, we will continue with your calls throughout the show. We're going to go to Sheila now. Sheila, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. I had no intention of calling you, but the Lord kept pressing on my heart to call you and pray. So that's what I'm going to
do. Okay.
Well, let's between now and the top of the hour, let's close this hour out with a prayer.
Yeah, I just want to say you confused me saying you had no intention to call.
We had no
intention. You were on the phone. And
we had no intention to answer, so that's
why I laughed.
That's the way God works, you know, because I didn't think I'd get through tonight, but that's the way he works. If he wants to tell you something, he's going to open the line. That simple. Anyway, Father, we come before you with heavy hearts tonight. We're 2 weeks away from celebrating the birth of your precious son, Lord, and today, these babies were taken home, given the best present ever. Those babies are dancing around the throne with you right now, Lord, where nothing could ever hurt them again. And that day will come, Father God, when we see those little ones. And I lift up the families, Lord, that's lost their children, all the people that's been affected by this horrible situation, Father. Everything down here is so dark, and we need you to help us to deal with it. We don't understand. We know it's a spiritual battle going on here, Lord. We know that you're in the midst of it. Hard time understanding what's going on. We know that you have a master plan in place, and you will bring good from all of it. I ask you, Father God, to lift Doug and Joe up as they try to get some news out. They put their lives on the line, Father, to do what they need to do to tell us what's going on so we can get some understanding. But in the meantime, we need you to guide us through all of it. We can't do it without you, Lord. But I want everyone to remember that those babies are up there with you, dancing with you right now, and that's the greatest Christmas present ever. We love you, Father. Praise you. And I ask you to keep your hand of protection over Doug and Joe. We love you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sheila, thank you very much. And we want to say God bless you and thank you for your prayers. It's much needed. All right, folks, we're up against the top of the second hour. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this somber Friday, December 14th, 2012. Let's never forget the role God plays in our lives, and let's never forget how lucky we are to be able to live for another day. And let's make use of it, too.
Because we're not guaranteed it tomorrow. And tragedy can strike at any time, as we see every day. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report this Friday, December 14th. We'll be back with our third and final hour right after these short messages.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
If you are stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a horologium nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report for today, the 14th day of December 2012. I'll tell you what, I've been getting emails all day about the confluence of events today and last night's show with Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle, and about the meaningful connection of events and the astounding relevance last night's show had to today. I want to clear something up, and I want to thank Marianne for sending this as well. I don't know how this escaped me. I've got notes everywhere in front of me, but let me clarify this, and thank you, Marianne. The King James Version of the Bible, the King James translation of the Bible, did not come from the Catholic Bible. I should know, okay? I spent 4 years in the Catholic seminary. I should know. Most of it came from the translation of William Tinsdale in Coverdale, okay? Now, Tinsdale was just brilliant in terms of language and translation and transliteration. He was martyred because he translated the Bible into English. Those people who know church history know this. And once again, the King James Version did not did not come from the Catholic Bible. Now, the King James Bible translators were God-fearing men. Now, the modern translations, which are done by teams including liberals, progressives, socialists, and social justice people, look, they don't even believe in the Bible, and they're making substitutions. Don't fall for that. Do not fall for the New Age Bible, the that kind of stuff. Okay, the King James Version, as we know it today, and understand this, and I don't want to argue the point with minutia. Okay, I really don't. That's not what tonight's about. But the King James Version is the best translation that we have right now. Okay, in terms of the English Bible, please don't call and say, oh, it's just, if you're comfortable with the version you have, let me just say this. Let me rephrase that. The King James Version, on balance, given all translations, is the best that we got right now to work with. Unless you've got the scrolls and you're fluent in Aramaic, okay, let's just leave it at that.
All right.
Thank you, Marianne.
We are going to go to the phones. Give us a call, 661-244-9839. We're going to take calls for the rest of our final hour of this end of the week Friday show.
It was a heavy week. We had Lindsay Williams on Wednesday. We had Russ Dizdar yesterday. Steve Quayle, in light of the events today, certainly.
And we were on, I was on two different shows yesterday. You were on
two today,
a different show yesterday.
Trying to get the word out there. We're trying to get the word out there and really, you're going to be hearing more too about trying to draw others into not an organized group, but some sort of coordinated effort to really, there's power, strength in numbers, and I think that there are enough people on BTR and in the media that we can actually get together and really, really make for a formidable force on Team God. Did I just go deaf or what happened?
No.
There was like this whooshing sound. And...
yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Troy. No. I don't know what was happening. He had to adjust something on the switchboard because we were getting like a sound of wind, but it sounds perfect now.
All right,
Troy.
Beautiful.
All right. Going to the phone lines, we are going to go to Crazy Granny.
Hey. All right.
Craziest caller we have. No. Crazy Granny, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug. Hello, Joe. I wanted to thank Maggie. I don't know if she, I think it was Monday night she called in. Maggie, do you remember Maggie?
I do.
She was wonderful. She gave I was trying to call, but she answered everything. I just love her. And by the way, you can just call me Donna now. That's my name.
Donna.
Anyway.
Yeah. That makes me feel, that makes me feel better, only because I just get this image of you riding atop of this makeshift truck in a rocking chair.
And I wrote it in pen on our car.
Oh, no, I'm not that old yet.
You know what I'm referring to. But you know what I'm referring to, the Beverly Hillbillies where they're, Jethro and...
I'm sorry, what was the name again?
Donna.
Okay. My heart goes out to the mothers and fathers in that town, and it's just devastating, and it is strange that last night's topic was creepy, but I kind of prayed a lot last night. Anyway, I'm just going to say this. Pardon me?
I think that there is a level of divine providence there. I can't put my finger on it, but you know, when you've got a topic that, I don't want to say out there, but that specific, that narrow, that kind of topic that we discussed last night, and even mentioning shootings and mass shootings and the Black awakening, and then having something like
two incidents that are completely unbelievable.
Yeah. So I really think that the spirit's talking, or the spirit's involved.
People look for signs. You know, it might not be one, but take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. Right. It is what it is.
Plus,
Donna, go ahead.
He kept getting bumped off. I mean, you know, there was problems with him. He had to keep coming back on, and it was like, wow.
That was weird. Yeah, and ordinarily it would be on our end, but that was directed at him, and some people say, well, that's Skype or it's the phone line. Or No, we could why the conversation earlier today with the source from our intelligence agency, and that was, let me just say, that was a direct trying to shut him up, so. But Donna, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to read something I found in the Bible that I thought was interesting. It's Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of the water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think of you guys.
Wow.
I don't know, I had to say that because that I think when you do it in that, you know, text, but what you guys are doing, I think it'll prosper. It is. I mean, it helps me. I don't know how many out there that are lost when it comes to churches, but I'm not giving up on my love for Jesus. Jesus Christ, I said it. My love for Jesus Christ, and just keep going. Also, to all those people out there, obviously, that are Satan worshipers or whatever they call themselves. I don't know what they call themselves. I found this. Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor, but pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure, but pays with pain. He promises profit, but pays with loss. He promises life, but pays with death. Comes from a book called Lies Women Believe, written by Nancy Lee Moss. I found that. I thought for all those people out there that were listening last night or that obviously listened to your show that believe he's going to deliver his promises, well, he doesn't. So, you know, they can go on believing whatever they want to believe out there that are listening and think that they're going to get some sort of download or whatever it is the transhumanists think. But in the end, they're just going to be deceived and cut off. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're the first to go because he's already got their soul. So my guess is he's got to get all of us that don't, or try to coerce the rest of the people that won't worship him, that'll stand fast to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven. And those people's souls, well, I can pray for them. But, you know, sometimes you just have to let go of things. And like my family and stuff that won't listen and say, well, they're in, you know, they're in the hands of the Lord right now, and I can pray for them. Can't force them. Can't compel them. Yes, I do cry, but, you know, my life isn't so bad. I have my challenges, but I wouldn't have it any other way because I came to the Lord by searching out truth on the Internet. I went on this big truth search because of all of the, you know, conspiracy theories. And in the interim of my research, it led me to the Lord through some stuff that happened in my life that was bad. Well, you could say bad luck, but there's health issues. You know, whatever it was, I praise the Lord that I have everything that, whatever you want to, because most people would say not good stuff that happened. But in the end, it led me to the Lord to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. And for that, the rest doesn't matter. Because when you accept the Lord in your house, that's true, into the house, into your heart, and make him part of your life, as you were saying earlier in the show, Joe, you can go and do and change and be something different. And I'm not perfect by any means. A lot of work on me, but every day I believe he works on me. And every day I feel different. And, you know, you open your door to somebody that you wouldn't think you'd open your door to. Because one night I was praying, and the next day praying. Somebody came to my door, and would have probably never opened the door to that person based on history and the things that happened. And anyway, the point is I let him in, a young person, and I'm helping him, teaching him the Lord, and because I don't think he would have had any other place to go but to the people that would have let him right back into the traps that Satan had set for him. So I believe that sometimes you may seem like the strangest thing you would do, but I really felt that the Lord put it on my heart to help this person find, you know, a better path. So with saying that, I thank God for you guys. I really, really do. I wish the churches were different. I just wish things were different. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. I support you guys. People just have to, you know, you guys are just there. I pray for you. Steve, Ross, all of those people.
All right. And have a listen to what I'm going to say. Donna, we're going to cut you loose, and I just want to say something here. There's an author by the name of Maria, I'll spell her last name, K-N-E-A-S, Maria Canise, author of, and folks, grab this book too, Strength for Tough Times. And I just want to touch on something here, When the Unthinkable Happens. And even with Donna, what she was saying just now, and others, the Apostle Paul wrote nearly a fourth of the New Testament. Okay, he had amazing revelations about God. Much of our theology is based on his writings. Yet he said, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." That comes from 1 Corinthians 13:9. Paul includes himself among those who only know in part. Now think about this, folks. If Apostle Paul only knew in part, then no church, no denomination, and certainly no individual has all of the answers. All of us have areas where our understanding is limited. Isn't that true? What will we do if things don't make sense to us? Will we become offended with God and abandon our faith? And I think there are a lot of people there, especially today. There was a time when many of Jesus' followers became offended with him and left him. The 12 apostles were troubled, but they were loyal and remained. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Did you know that? He was abandoned by a number of people. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you go away also?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You can find that in John 6. There was a time when King Nebuchadnezzar commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down and worship a golden idol. You remember the story. And if they said no, they would be thrown into the furnace. And they told old Nebi over there, "You know, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." That's in Daniel 3:17-18. What would we do? What will we do? What are we doing when the unthinkable happens? Will we be faithful to God no matter what? Or will we be only faithful if things work out our way, the way that we think they should? Well, we can go to the Apostle Paul. He said, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's 2 Timothy 1 through, or 1 chapter, chapter 1, verse 12. Now, Paul said, notice that Paul said whom, meaning a person, not what, meaning an understanding of theology, a scripture interpretation, or whatever. So Paul's primary confidence was not in the word necessarily, or the translation, but he was in the person of Jesus Christ, and that is where our primary confidence needs to be. See, folks, when we talk about all these little differences, we talked about the translations, we talked about the words, we talked about this. Yeah, there's some things that are important, but let's go back to Paul. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 1, 12. And notice that Paul said, whom, meaning a person, not what, which means a theology, understanding, a scriptural interpretation, and so on. Because Paul's primary confidence, as ours should be, is in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is where our primary confidence needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to say, and I want to thank the author, Maria Nias, of the name of the book is Strength for Tough Times, and that should be in everyone's library, in my opinion.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, you know, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in certain vessels, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that thy life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
We have to take them in.
Yeah.
We have to take them into our life. See, I've gotten a couple of emails, Joe.
In that, the importance in the first part of that, for we preach not ourselves, but the Christ Jesus, the Lord, for ourselves are the servants for Jesus' sake. When we are the vessels, and what I wanted to say is, if we are not in tune with the Lord, if we are not listening to him, reading, meditating, praying, what are we doing here on earth? Nothing fruitful.
No,
it's destructive.
That's correct.
Even if it's not for the people who say, "Oh, I don't need to believe in, you know, Jesus or accept Jesus. I'm a good person," you know. What do I need to do? I don't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not always about good or bad, because there are good people that will not make it to heaven. And it's a sad reality, because you don't want to see anybody lost. But faith and our relationship requires a lot on our part. And we have to be open.
Yeah.
To that responsibility, because if we're not, we will not grow closer but farther, and that's the last place any of us want to be.
Exactly. And I've gotten a couple of emails during the show saying, well, geez, you guys ever going to get to the news? Well, you know what, sometimes, folks, sometimes the news can wait. You can look at the news. I mean, you don't need all the time us to interpret the news for you. We know things are bad. We know the economy is bad. We know that World War III is actually setting up in the Middle East and Syria. Sometimes we have to strike at the very heart at the very heart of the issue, where others don't go.
Right. This is a spiritual, the topic tonight is spiritual changes.
Yes.
And we didn't intend on having a show pretty much following the same kind of topic as last night with Mr. Dizdar and Quayle, who talked about the darkness, the coming darkness, spiritual darkness being manifest in the physical world also, and how to battle it.
We are watching the dark cloud come over this country.
Yeah.
But we are not to live under that dark cloud. We are to be that ray of sunshine, that ray of light, that light will act as a beacon for others.
Yeah. And we can talk about news. We do have a lot of news to get into.
This is important.
Talking about spiritual things, and you know, we have not moved to the news, and maybe that's for a good reason.
Well, you know, one thing too, and this kind of is a good segue into other things, because right now, in the introduction into a new world order, which is what we're seeing, this darkness that we're seeing right now is preceding this influx of this new world order. The one of the catapults to the new world order, this one world governance, is the Islamic religion, and how we are, the United States is now being subjected to certain things. If you saw the last copy of Newsweek, I believe it is, it talks about Rick Warren, and it talks about these mega churches and these how Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and the creation of this mega religion, all worshiping the same God. Well, look, that is a stepping stone toward the destruction of our country, and certainly it's a direct assault on Christianity. The terrorists right now in the United States, they're not wearing today, or at least today, at least at this very moment, they're not wearing suicide vests, or whatever you want to call them. They're not carrying AK-47s today. They're wearing suits and ties. They've got law degrees. They're members of our state bars, our legislatures. They're also members of various Islamic charities and lobbies, and members of the judiciary. They run tax-free, IRS-sanctioned nonprofits, and they're funds to further the cause of Sharia acceptance in American society and American courts, which is a stepping stone for the communist principles, which is a stepping stone for the globalist order and the one world religion. It's so important. Look, Sharia is not the problem. The judicial system is the problem.
Well, I would say that Sharia is, well, a problem.
Yes.
Not the problem. The problem is the taking over of our government from a shadow government that is using the tool of Sharia law, communism, fascism, against the American people to absorb the remaining wealth out of this nation.
But for decades, people, there are communists, there are progressives, there are socialists, there are Islamists. For decades, they have infiltrated our schools, our universities, our business communities, our government agencies. They've got their foot in the doors of our legislatures and judiciaries. And you know something? We lose the judiciaries, we are going to lose the country, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the last line of defense. That's our firewall for freedom.
Yeah. Crusader in chat brought this story up, and this is something I had listed, but need to talk about it because it is important. U.S. banks warned of cyber attacks on accounts. This out of the Washington Times.
We talked about this last night.
Yeah. The U.S. financial service industry has issued a warning that a Russian cyber gangster is preparing to rob American banks and their customers of millions of dollars. In addition, the computer security firm McAfee has reported that the cyber criminal, who calls himself thief in law already has infected the hundreds of computers of unwitted American customers in preparation to steal their bank account data. This warning was issued Thursday by the Financial Services Information Sharing and Analysis Center, which shares information throughout the financial sector about terrorists and online threats, said Douglas Johnson, Vice President of Risk Management of the American Bankers Association. FSISAC has sent out several notices warning about this gentleman, Mr. Johnson told the Washington Times. Theft in law has installed malicious software programs known as malware on hundreds of computers as part of his plan, dubbed Project Blitzkrieg. This malware steals passwords and login information, which hackers use to drain victims' bank accounts.
Now you want to know what's really going on,
right?
Here.
Yes, and we and Steve did talk about it, and he explained it perfectly. It's the looting of the American people through a false flag cyber attack. It is trying to push through cyber security legislation. Like they are trying to push through gun regulation, gun ban legislation behind Congress, under the radar.
That's right.
Through executive order regulation.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem, Joe, and listeners. We can talk about and we are going to be looted.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. The IMF. The International Monetary Fund, they calculate that to maintain the present spending trend in the United States. Folks, listen to this. IMF says just to maintain our present spending trend, we're going to have an 88% increase of all federal taxes to maintain theoretical
88%?
Yeah.
And I told you that yesterday or the day before the report that 75% of the new tax that's coming in, the new tax rates, are being spent on new programs instead of on the debt.
Well, you know, it's, look, what we're seeing here is our republic being dismantled through financial means.
Yeah.
As a government becomes bigger, it becomes more lawless.
I want to hit this story as it is as frustrating to read as any other. TSA detains a girl in a wheelchair, a 12-year-old girl with a bone disorder who uses a wheelchair, was detained for an hour at the DFW International Airport. After TSA agents said they found explosive residue on her hands, she was traveling, Shelby Walser, traveling from Florida to Florida for medical treatment with her mother when the incident occurred last weekend. Her mother, Tammy Daniel, says TSA agents pulled her to the side after a test revealed explosive residue on the girl's hands. However, Daniels believes the agents never used common sense during the ordeal. Through all of this, no common sense ever kicked in, said Daniels. No one ever tested the wheelchair. Daniels acknowledged wheelchairs are like the bottom of shoes and are nasty and exposed to any and everything on the ground. Other passengers reportedly spoke out in the defense of the little girl and the mother.
Thank you.
Recorded the incident with a cell phone and monitored the girl during the incident and feared the TSA agents were going to separate the mother from the child.
They should have pushed those people, the TSA agents, away from that girl, I'm telling you.
And this is what we need to see. Passengers spoke out in the defense, making sure that these people were being recorded, that the mother and daughter were not going to be separated.
That's right.
That nothing was going to happen to this little girl that wasn't supposed to. And the TSA sees that, they back down. They do back down. I do agree with what you said a couple weeks ago. They are the most vulnerable.
That's right. They're the most visible and vulnerable. We take a stand. See, that's their Achilles heel. Because we take a stand against the TSA, and we're going to set the one world order agenda, this tyranny, back a few steps.
We're going to try.
Well, we can.
God has the ultimate plan and how it plays out. It's already written and sealed. But we're
not going to stand by and sit on our hands while it happens.
Absolutely not. And we will do everything in our power to change things as we best can. This too, unprecedented powers for warrantless surveillance. Did you see this article?
Yes, I did.
The National Counterterrorism Center amounts to a sweeping new database housing information and surveillance records of people the government suspects have ties to terrorism.
That's everybody thinks.
Right.
It doesn't matter what this article is saying. It's everyone.
It is a horrendous monstrosity of an Orwellian propositions, and it just got worse. As a meager restriction on its assault on the Fourth Amendment, the NCTC was previously supposed to immediately destroy intelligence information about Americans when there were no clear ties to terrorism. But now the Obama administration, without any public debate, transparency with Congress, has granted new powers to the NCTC. Wall Street Journal reports the new rules allow the little-known National Counterterrorism Center to examine the government files of U.S. citizens for possible criminal behavior, even if there's no reason to suspect them of that.
That's like looking into your house without a warrant just because they're looking for something to use against you when they've got no reason to.
This is a departure from the past practice, which barred the agency from storing information about ordinary Americans unless a person was a terror suspect or are related to an investigation. Now, the National Counterterrorism can copy entire government databases, flight records, casino employees lists, the names of Americans hosting foreign exchange students, and many others. The agency has new authority to keep data about innocent U.S. citizens for up to 5 years and to analyze it for suspicious patterns of behavior. Previously, both were prohibited. Data about Americans reasonably believed to constitute terrorism information may be permanently retained. The changes also allow databases of U.S. civilian information to be given to foreign governments for analysis of their own. In effect, the U.S. and foreign governments would be using the information to look for clues that people might commit future crimes. It's breathtaking in scope, said former senior administration official.
It is.
Yeah. How does the Obama administration justify this radical Orwellian approach to domestic surveillance? With a promise and a kiss, the president seems to think any government measure, no matter how unconstitutional, is perfectly acceptable so long as they will be provided with the data. The guidelines provide rigorous oversight to protect the information that we have for authorized and narrow purposes.
Yeah, it's not narrow. It's authorized because they authorized it. When I say they, I'm talking about the executive branch. It is not what... This is a license to take whatever they want of your personal information.
It is a vast expansion of the government surveillance authority. A total information awareness appears to be reconstructing itself. And this is, you know, they say here that Marcy Wheeler, a blogger, wrote at the time that to justify this power grab advocates point to two attacks that had nothing to do with the length of data retention. The Nadal Hassan attack, in which information on his conversations with Anwar al-Awlaki hadn't been shared throughout the government, and Umar Fakur Abdul Malala, in this, which he is suspected status hasn't been loaded into the no-fly list.
You slaughtered that name.
Well, yeah, what is that?
That's Umar Farouk Abdul Yeah. Now you got me saying it. Go ahead.
They say, following the failed terrorist attack in December of 2009, representatives of the counterterrorism community concluded it is vital for them to be provided with a variety of databases from various agencies that contain terrorism information.
See, okay, and there it is. Folks,
we are the terrorists.
That's it. And that, end the story.
Yeah.
You can put a period right there.
It doesn't matter for what. It doesn't matter why. We are the terrorists. Anybody who is not an active part of this new world, one world order, Luciferian system is a terrorist. Anybody who thinks for themselves is a terrorist.
It's only the oppression is only going to get worse. I want to thank. So I'm going to bring this up real quick. I want to thank Sarge for sending this. He had taken some notes about the shooting today, and this is something that some oddities here we should consider. The with respect to the shooting today and earlier in the week in Oregon. Two early 20-somethings execute two mass shootings in a week, okay? One fails. Weapon stoppage. One succeeds. Okay, now, think about this. The guy today, the kid today, he doesn't even miss one target, basically. If you've ever taken a gun course or an active shooting course or in that scenario, let me tell you what, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of chaos, but what, all of his targets are hit, all shots are lethal. Where did he acquire that level of proficiency with somewhat complicated weapons under extreme duress, he asks?
Some say he was autistic. Some say he worked in a financial sector.
Let's see. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But now think about this. He stole the weapons apparently from mom or somehow otherwise got it from a female presence in his life, the weapons like Glock 17, a Sig Sauer, and then Ford carbine. Okay, now, if indeed he did get them from his mother, a kindergarten teacher, I don't know of anyone, and nor does Sarge here know of any kindergarten teacher or any woman that has such weapons unless there are sports shooters or there are extenuating circumstances. So that's rather odd. But women tend to carry, by the way, 38 caliber revolvers or something without heavy slides or rack like an auto loader. Okay. And now there's exceptions, but here's the key. Every firearm between the guy, the first kid and the second kid, everyone is what Obama, the progressives, the people in the government want to ban, the high ammunition capacity handguns in America's most popular auto-loading military-style rifle, the AR-15 and its variants. So it's something to think about. Is that perfect?
How about this?
And if it is, does it stink?
Rupert Murdoch, terrible news today. This is what Rupert Murdoch tweets.
Did you write?
Oh, this is not something from before. Rupert Murdoch tweeted, terrible news today. When will politicians find the courage to ban automatic weapons? Oh, that was an old note. And back to the gun banning subject. The evidence is clear. Average citizens' rights to unrestricted firearms, the ultimate means of self-defense, must not be infringed. History shows that what happens when we let law-abiding citizens turn unarmed into unarmed citizens, for foreign invasions, a tyrannical government, criminals, or perhaps even an extraterrestrial invasion, gun rights should be totally re-implemented in this nation and fully protected. However, if a citizen is shown to commit a violent crime with a gun, he should be imprisoned for life. But if someone is shown to be irresponsible and drink and drive, you know, you should have your car taken away for your life. But
I remember in Edinburgh, 10 miles from here, in 1996, 14-year-old Andrew was shot and killed a teacher at Edinburgh School, at a school dance. Okay, he was carrying a gun. Do you know that there was one person, the dance hall owner, James Tran, stopped him with a shotgun? In other words, you had a responsible person carrying a gun.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so what you're saying is, people that are responsible, carry the guns.
Yes.
People who are not, don't.
Right.
There are many, many instances where there are law-abiding citizens who have stopped mass shootings. Pearl, Mississippi, 97. Edinburgh, as I said, 96. In Nevada, 2008. Villa Gomez, I remember that name because to me that name's a funny name. He killed two people and wounded a couple of others in a bar. But he was stopped by someone who was carrying a gun. concealed weapons, Colorado Springs, 2 years or 5 years ago.
Well, I'm going on. Yeah, let me read this, though. This is from Alternet. This is a pro-gun ban article.
Pro-gun ban.
Talking about the deaths today of the children at the school. Can we ever talk about gun control? A school shooting worse than Columbine, this time affecting children as young as kindergarten, at the end of a year of deadly mass shootings. And he goes on to state, what happened, who did it, what weapons they used, how it was chaos and different reporting, and it's the worst shooting in history. And he goes on to say this, what can you say on an afternoon with news like this? Gun control advocates are always accused of politicizing tragedies, but the tragedies are coming so regularly these days that it is impossible to bring the issue up at a time that is not in the wake of one. Besides, gun advocates are already politicizing this. Warning, disturbing tweet follows. A tweet from a man named Byron Fisher. Shooter's attack at elementary school in Connecticut, another gun-free zone, makes children sitting ducks. Then the writer goes on to say, this type of massacre has now happened over 30 times since Columbine in schools alone, not to mention malls, movie theaters, and movie theater mass shootings. It's an epidemic caused by many things, but enabled by guns and gun culture. Until we do something about guns, violence like this will continue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So let's just agree with him for a second. We take away the guns. So violence will stop after the guns are gone?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, I know we've gone over this.
It's happened in D.C. and New York. I mean, it's a magical formula. You take away the guns and no shootings. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, see, it's just a specious argument. It really is.
Mainstream media labeling the NRA as a Ku Klux Klan, similar to the Ku Klux Klan. Anybody who is pro-gun as basically a violent right-wing terrorist.
You want to know how it starts? This is how it starts. It's starting now.
Yeah.
It's starting now. This is how it's going to start.
The welfare of people has always been the alibi of tyrants, and it provides the further advantage of giving the servants of tyranny a good conscience. Have you ever heard that quote?
No, and I'm thankful I haven't.
No, these are some of the gun quotes that we talked about. There are a lot of leaders in past, present, who have commented on their belief on gun control. And, you know, some of the quotes from Thomas Jefferson, the Constitution of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people. That is their right and their duty to be armed at all times. Okay?
I think it's responsible if you have the physical ability and you are of psychological well-being, psychologically stable.
And
I think it's your responsibility to protect. I mean,
it's not to shoot people.
No.
It's not to rob. It's in case somebody tries to do something to you. You might not even need to shoot, just to have the means of protection.
That's right.
And here, William Walters, 1936. The framers gave us the Second Amendment not so we could go deer or duck hunting, but to give us a means of protection against congressional tyranny. And that is so true. We know that through the history we went through, the ramifications of gun bans and the genocide that always follows.
You know, I don't know if you read about this, but there's Charles Van Wyck wrote a book, Shooting Back, The Right and Duty of Self-Defense. Van Wyck makes a biblical Christian case for individuals arming themselves with guns and does so very persuasively. Van Wyck talks about, in this book, goes about talking about grenades, exploding around them and splinters flying through the air. This is a recollection of July 25th, 1993, at the St. James Church Massacre. Somebody was firing an automatic weapon, and the pews were, the bullets were ripping through the pews and such. Van Wyck was not only, or was not defenseless that day, I should say. He had he been unarmed, like other congregants, the slaughter would have been much worse. Van Wyck knelt down behind the bench in front, in the front of this church, pulled out a 38 special, and he writes in Shooting Back, I would have felt undressed without it. Many people could not understand why I would carry a firearm into a church service. And this is what Russ Dizar was talking yesterday. But I argued this is a particularly dangerous time. Of course, he was talking about South America back in 1993. But he successfully took out the shooter and saved many lives. See, in a church, no less. And the name of the book is called Shooting Back, The Right and Duty of Self-Defense from a Biblical or Christian Perspective.
Yeah, and, you know, people, we've gone over this. The rights that were granted to us in our Constitution that so many people have fought and died for, laid their lives, their freedoms, their families, their fortunes on the line so that we can have, are completely being stripped away from us right now. And it's not through real concern for the people. It is through deception. It is through violence. It is through evil. I mean, they are using evil and bringing it out into society in order to take our liberties away from us. Now, we are men and women of God. We can tolerate persecution. We can tolerate, you know, being belittled, labeled, taking hate for praising and preaching the word of the Lord. We can take our constitutional rights being stripped away if we have to.
Well, but, we'd prefer not.
Exactly. You know, and there's a fine line here. You know, Romans 13 says, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar.
But that's
God created governments.
Many.
You listen to the governments. But in our case, under the real law, we are the government.
That, by the way, Romans 13, give under render
right.
That's almost
right.
Sarcastic. That was stated almost sarcastically.
But what we need to focus on more than, I mean, I understand people and their right wanting to defend their rights, you know, that we are granted to us under the Constitution, but there is a greater protection out there. A protection that can never be taken away regardless of any law, any tragedy, and that is the protection of the Lord. And I wanted to say this earlier. You know, everybody, I used to see the "What Would Jesus Do" signs. All these bumper stickers and bracelets and people wearing, "What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do?" And I started to ask myself that, you know, earlier this week. I don't know what brought it up, but, and I think I'm thinking this, what would Jesus do in different situations? For instance, driving here, getting cut off, you know, by a big truck, doesn't see me in the lane, pretty much runs me off the road. And I'm screaming, and I stop, and I think, you know, what would Jesus do? But in a bigger sense, what would Jesus do if he was on earth? What would he say right now at a time like this? Would he want us to argue over earthly freedoms, or would he want us to focus on spiritual matters and our relationship with him? I guess I'm not trying to say the Constitution and the rights afforded to us in it are not important. I'm just saying there's a more important authority.
No, the Scripture, the Bible, and the Constitution do go hand in hand. The Constitution in my view, and I think a lot of people share this view, is divinely inspired. And I think that the scripture, you know, neither one are mutually exclusive. They work together because God has given the freedoms delineated in the Constitution. And I think that if you mess with the Constitution in some respects, you are also messing with the Word of God because of that divine connection and the divinity. I believe that's inherent within the Constitution because of the freedom, or because of how it treats.
Do you think as a nation we deserve to have any rights?
I'm not talking about as a nation. I'm talking about the individual rights afforded to us via the Constitution.
Via God.
Of course. Yes.
But this nation, you know, you spoke on the 3,000 babies that are aborted and murdered every day.
I understand that. But what I'm saying to you, that's a law, or that was a decision made by the Supreme Court. That's not a constitutional. It's not in the Constitution. I'm talking about the freedoms of the rights and freedoms given to us by the Constitution.
Right, but who's protecting the rights and the freedoms of those unborn babies? I guess at that point,
we're chasing tails.
The inability of Americans because of deception and our own pleasures by doing what we want, watching TV, whatever you're doing. And instead of getting involved in stopping this stuff from happening,
of course,
too many of us have sat back for too long.
It's not the Constitution's fault. In other words, it's our fault for not enforcing what the Constitution.
Almost asking, do we deserve to even have a Constitution because of what we have let happen to this nation?
I understand what you're saying.
I know that's too much of a question for 5 minutes left. So
let me just close the program, or close my part out with this. And I think that we have to look at where we're at right now and look at Proverbs 22, verse 3. And I want everyone really to think about this, because a prudent person foresees difficulties and prepares for them, while simpletons go blindly on and suffer the consequences. And, you know, you have to look at this as solid advice for people of any persuasion whatsoever, and look at it from today's standards. The book of James measures faith by personal action. And, of course, we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the description of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God told Noah that he would destroy the earth by a flood, and he gave him instructions on how to prepare so that he and his family could survive. But Noah didn't know when this thing was coming, the flood was coming, only that it was prophesied, and he prepared for it. So when it arrived, he was ready. In his faith and obedience in God's word, he survived. His survival instinct, and ultimately his preparedness actions, saved his family and preserved humanity. So the parallels between today and Noah, or Noah and today, are astounding us. As it was in the days of Noah, now this according to Luke 17, concerning the last days, Noah's preparedness should define us as modern day believers, our actions, including our spiritual and physical readiness. We have to combine them both. And that's where I think we're at. Look at the headlines, look at the news, look at where we're at, look at scripture. Just take a cue from Noah. Read Proverbs 22:3. A prudent person foresees difficulties and prepares for them, while simpletons go blindly on and suffer the consequences. Let's not suffer the consequences.
The preparedness from the virgins with the oil, the ones who did and the ones who did not bring oil.
Right.
There are biblical references to that preparedness.
So, that's right. But that's where we're at. Now, next week we've got.
I'll be a special guest on our show next week.
Right. We are lining up some guests, but I think next week we're really going to get into some pretty heavy topics. Yeah. With especially with respect to the opening of the I'll tell you, the opening of the Black Abyss, as I would call it, or the Black Agenda, and we're going to be dissecting that as well as going through the blowback from today's events.
Yeah, and any guests we get scheduled, we will definitely update on our site. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today and throughout this week. Please check our Facebook page out at the Hagman and Hagman Report if you are on Facebook. Go listen to the archive from last night if you didn't get a chance.
Oh, yes.
That was a fantastic show, and I got to tell you, the amount of people who have listened in 24 hours is more than any other show I've seen us do, and that is the blessings of the Lord, and we can't thank Him enough. As we have been blessed, we hope all of you are blessed as well. You have a safe weekend. Take care, and cherish
and as always,
your time and your family.
Indeed, and as always, if anything does break, we will be on there this weekend.
Have a great weekend.